This evening, we're going to look, I think, at the greatest ministry that Christ has given his church. The greatest thing that he has given his church. There is books and books and books being written on this subject. And I would suggest to you that still it's one of the most unused, unflexed muscles of the Church of God. Tonight we're going to look at prayer. Just read a passage about prayer, about other things as well, but about prayer, and we pray. 1 John 5:14. If you're going to follow in your Bibles, you're going to have to jump around a lot tonight, okay? Okay, but 1 John 5:14 says this. This is our confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Great, isn't it? It's great. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Amazing words. Amazing words. God is a God who hears and answers prayer. God is a God who hears and answers prayer. And sometimes, we think he doesn't answer prayer, or prayer seems unanswered. And maybe that's a simple answer, no. And we're going to look tonight at what is called unanswered prayer, or I'd rather call it the no answer. Because no is an answer. No is an answer. You know, when your children come up to you and say, can I have? Sometimes you say yes, and sometimes you say no. It's not an unanswered, it's not the answer they wanted, but it's an answer. But we're going to unpack something about this no answer, or this unanswered prayer, if you want to call it that. That's fine. And we're going to look at reasons why there is unanswered prayer, or that there's a no answer. And the first one we're going to look at is found in the book of James. James 4:3. It says this. When you ask and you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see, God doesn't only look at the words we pray. It's a shame that we so often do. Our attention so often is on, are we praying theologically sound prayers in our words? But God doesn't look at that so much. He looks at the motive of the prayer, the heart of the prayer. What are you asking it for? And in James, it says it very clearly. If your motives are not right, I won't answer. Or I'll answer no. Your motives for praying have got to be right. They've got to be the right motives. It's not to show us off. It's not to make us big. It's not to say, oh, look how God's answered my prayer. No, the answered prayer You know, prayer is a great ministry for lots of reasons. One of the reasons why it's a great ministry is because it puts God where he should be and puts us where we should be. We come and ask God to do things because we know we can't. It reminds us that we can't do things. Anything of spiritual worth comes out of God. He uses his people, he uses the body of Christ, but it's him through his body. He must work. So one of the reasons why prayer is great, because it puts us where we should be, but it also puts God where he should be. Oh God, who can? Oh God, who can move? Who can change? Who can do things? And we need to make sure that our motives are right when we pray. Why are we praying? Because God deserves the glory. Because God deserves the glory. Because the other motives might be that we want to see other people come into the kingdom. Perhaps some of the, I don't want to hint at wrong motives, but perhaps some of them could be, we want our church to be big. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a big church, by the way. But I would suggest that it's not the right kind of motive. The motive should be, we want people to know this great Saviour. We want him to be glorified. It's too small a thing that he's worshipped with just a few voices. He should be worshipped with lots of voices. And therefore, because worship of God, glory to God is important, we need to win people, we need to bring people in. I think John Piper put it this way. Mission is not eternal. Worship is. Mission exists. That's the word I'm looking for. Mission exists because worship doesn't. You see, mission is about bringing people in to worship. It's too small a thing that God, this mighty God, worship with only a few voices in Wales tonight. Comparatively few. It's too small a thing. It's too small a thing that he's only worshipped in Wales. No, he needs to be worshipped in every tongue and every tribe and every nation. This is how great this God is. And suddenly prayer takes a new motive. Oh, it's not about building my church. It's about building the kingdom of God so that he is worshipped. It's not about seeing lots of people in our buildings. Oh, that's fantastic. And that displays something great. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't try to win people. I'm saying what's the motive behind that? And as we pray for the right motives, God will answer. Second reason, Proverbs 28 verse 9 tells us, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instructions, even their prayers are detestable. You can't pray for things outside of God's word, his instructions. Many years ago, my friend was praying, a group of us youth, you know what you're like when you're young. One of my mates was praying for this girl to like him. And it was pretty obvious that God had said no to him. But he carried on praying. And he told one of my other mates, see, God's not answering me. And my friend told him, now this was no reflection on the girl, by the way, right? My friend told him, listen, God's not going to give you a shotgun to shoot yourself. Right? No reflection on the girl. What he's trying to say is, listen, if it's not in God's will for you, no matter how long you pray for, the answer's going to be the same. You see, we've got to discover what is in God's will. What is in God's will for us? And we pray according to God's will, to his instruction to us. You know, praying for things that are outside of God's word for us will never have a yes prayer. A yes answer, I should say. We'll never see the answers to those things. Now, things may happen. We can say, oh, see, it's happened. What I want to suggest to you is not God that's answering the prayer. No, we pray according to God's word. When you pray that people come into the kingdom, you're praying according to God's word. When you pray that they'll give you lots of money, you're praying cross to God's word. It's not about finances. Don't pray for people to give you lots of money. Now, you may be in financial problems and you may ask the Lord to help your financial problems. That's a different prayer, isn't it? You might go to the Lord with that kind of prayer. Of course. Do you see what I'm trying to say? According to God's word. When you pray, Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Please send us more workers. You're praying according to God's word. How do we know? Jesus told us to pray that prayer. Told us to pray that prayer. When we pray, Lord, I want this because I think this will be good for me. We're not guaranteed an answer for that. But if you pray, God, let your will be done in my life, we are guaranteed an answer. There's a difference. We pray in according to God's word. You go outside that word, then you're not guaranteed any answer at all. Mark 11, 25. When you stand praying, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Coming a bit closer to home now. Is there unforgiveness in your heart? Are you holding something up against somebody? Because if you are, God says, I don't want to hear your prayers. You see, the reason for that is, if you're a Christian tonight, if you're a follower of Jesus tonight, guess what? He's forgiven you. You've got no right to hold unforgiveness in your heart. I'm not saying that people haven't hurt you, that people haven't wronged you, that people haven't done things that really are painful, because they may well have. It's not easy to carry it, and we're not meant to carry it. You see, I'm sorry to my daughter now, because I'm going to use a quote that she says I use it all the time, okay? But I'm going to use it anyway. Unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison, hoping the rat will die. You're trying to kill the rats, so you drink the poison. The only person it's hurting is you. The only person that it's destroying is you. Unforgiveness is a big issue. So big that Jesus says, when you're standing and you're praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Stop. Don't carry on praying now. Deal with this first. Deal with this so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. She's in all in reality with God. It's real business, isn't it? Real business. It's not, I can do what I want and I can just waltz into God's presence how I want, when I want, in whichever way I want. Now, that presence of God is always open to any of us. But we're coming before the King of Kings. We don't come with all our unforgiveness, all our issues, and we don't want to deal with them, so we can put them to one side. Oh, no, we can ask you for whatever we want. Thank you very much. And God says, hang about. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It doesn't work like that. There's things in your heart that need to be dealt with. There's things in your life that need to be dealt with. You can't just waltz in, say what you want to say, do what you want to do, and expect me just to bend over backwards for you. I'm God. You've got to be put right. Now, we can only do that through grace. Only be put right by grace. And God's given us a way to be put right. He's not saying, now work harder, do better. He's saying, no, make sure you're put right. Which is also the work of God. But we need to forgive. We need to forgive people. Psalm 66, verse 18, says this. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Big issue. Big issue in the church. Big issue with men and women of God. Secret sins. Not asking for confession here tonight. I am asking for confession here tonight, actually, but not to me. I don't need to know. But you might need to tell somebody, and you definitely need to put it right with the Lord. If you're harboring any secret sins, if there's things that you wouldn't want anybody else to know, if you're harboring them, if you're walking them, one, it doesn't bring glory to God, but don't even think of giving answers to your prayers. I'm not talking about slipping up. We all mess up. We all fall. We all mess up. We all slip and fall. I'm talking about cherished sin. The sin that's there all the time. We don't confess it. We don't try to put it right. Oh, we get a bit of guilt about it, but it's never dealt with. It's there all the time. Whatever it is, it's there. I was shocked to hear about a pastor's conference in America. I think it was in America. It might not have been. I'm being unjust on America there. A pastor's conference in a hotel. And the amount of pornography that was looked at that night was more than the average. More than the average. Men of God. But secret sin. Cherished sin. Grabbed hold of them. Couldn't let it go. Couldn't let it go. They were absolutely tied up in this. Tied up. If you've got that kind of thing in your life, I think you need to speak with somebody, a trusted friend, who can pray with you and help you through it and keep you accountable. But you also need to talk to God about it. Don't carry on. Now, I know the temptation here is to say, but it's been there for years. I'd be so embarrassed. I want to tell you, God wants to sort it out. God wants to sort it out in your life. He wants you to be free from it. And it's not easy. It's not easy, it's not easy. But let me tell you, my friends, it's worth it. It's worth it. You need to be free from these things. You need to confess it to somebody, I would suggest, to somebody as well, to help you, keep you accountable. And say to them, you know, hey, I struggle with this issue. I need you to make sure that I'm not like this anymore. Check up on me. Ask me the hard questions. Sometimes we get so airy-fairy about our spirituality. We need people in our life to say, hey, how's it going? Really, how's it going? Are you struggling in that area that you shared? Are you struggling there? I've mentioned one of the areas, but it can be anything. You know the areas that you may struggle with. And you may not struggle. You may not have a sin like that. Great. Brilliant. Rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you. But if you do struggle, put it right. Take steps even tonight to put it right. Don't let it hinder your spiritual growth any longer. Put it right. Because God won't answer prayer with that. Says so in the Word. Says so in the Word. This ministry of prayer. The fifth one. Doubt. James 1, 5 to 7. If anyone of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You shouldn't doubt. You should pray in faith. Why? How do we know that? Because the other four have been put in place. We're praying with the right motives. We're praying according to God's will. We're praying... What was the next one? Terrible, isn't it, when you forget. We pray with forgiven hearts, that we've forgiven people. We're not carrying bitterness. We're not carrying any unconfessed sin, cherished sin in our hearts. And that's how we know what God's will is. That's how we know. But when we pray, we can receive things according to His purpose and His will in our lives, according to His purposes in the earth. God wants to answer prayer. He wants to move in this world. And the way He's chosen to move in this world is through His church, through people like you and me. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think that? Would you have chosen you? I wouldn't have chosen me. Would you have chosen you? God has chosen you, guys. The church. I'm talking about the building. I'm talking about the people. The body of Christ. He's chosen you to be the answer in this world. He's the answer, but through you. The greatest example of that in the Bible, in my estimation, or the most, apart from Jesus, right? Because that's a slightly different, is a man being used by God. It's a great illustration. You'll find it in Exodus 3, 4, and 5. Moses being called. Wonderful, wonderful story. Read it. Great story. And here's Moses. He's being called by God. Called by God. You know, through the bush and all that kind of stuff, all the miracle that's happening. And God calls him. Read Exodus 3. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. But don't read it as a theological exercise. Read it as a human being. And put the human's bit into it. It's amazing. Because God says like this to him. I have heard the cry of my people. I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt. Now I think at that point, Moses is going, oh, praise the Lord. And I am going to release, listen to me speaking, God, I am going to release my people. Oh, great God. And I'm going to take them out of their slavery. Oh, great God. I'm going to take them into a new land. The land, and then he goes through all the tribes. I'm not even going there. The Hittites and the Canaanites and the Amorites and all the Ites. All of them. I'm going to take him into their land. Oh! Moses now must be... It doesn't say this in the Word. But I'm guessing Moses is getting ecstatic. Oh, Lord. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. Lord God! You're going to do this. Next verse. Now go. Oh. Now Moses starts to think, why am I going to go? I thought you were going to do it, God. It's through you, Moses. It's through you. Why do we need prayer to be answered? Why do we need prayer to be effective in God's kingdom? Because God has chosen us to be his message. He's chosen us. He'll do the work, but he's chosen us. And Moses had to clean his act up. Moses had to do things right. He had to go. He had to say what God told him to say. He had to do what God told him to do. He had to live a life according to what God said. He had to act in a way that was obedient to God so that God could work through him and deliver the people of Israel through Moses. Why do we need prayer to be answered? Why do we need prayer to be effective? Because God has chosen us. God's chosen you. Now, sometimes God answers out of his grace. We haven't put everything right, but God is gracious to us. He's always gracious to us, by the way. But you know what I mean, right? But I want to encourage you tonight. Do you know there's one prayer? There's one prayer. He always answers. There's one prayer. He always answers. And this isn't a prayer that demands any of those things to be in place, in one sense. It's a sinner's prayer. The prayer that says, Lord, I need you. I don't know how to pray according to your will. I haven't experienced your forgiveness yet. I'm hopeless without you. I'm lost. Tonight, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, the first 5 points apply to you. They apply to you. But tonight, if you're not a Christian, just one applies to you. Call on him to know his forgiveness and to know his love in your life. And you know, if you mean it, that's the only thing you need to do, is mean it and believe it. He'll come. Because I believe what the word of God says, and it says this: whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The first time I heard that, first time I acted on that, wasn't the first time I heard it, but it was made alive to me by the work of the Holy Spirit, made it alive. I knew for the first time I was lost. I knew for the first time I was a sinner. I'd been told many times, but I knew it. God had grabbed my heart, and I knew that I was desperate. I didn't know theologically what to say. I didn't know that I had to forgive people. I didn't know that I had to be right and all of this kind of stuff. I was just lost. And the person who was speaking said, if you want to be put right with God, if you mean it, you can just pray. You can come with me and I'll pray with you. You can just find a quiet place and pray. I was on a camp, so the only quiet place was in a toilet. I locked myself in a toilet. I locked myself in the toilet because on the outside I was cool Joe, right? I was cool, not cool in the way I looked. I've never been cool in the way I looked. But cool, you know, I'm okay, I'm fine. But inside I was hurting. I was, what's that? What's happened? I went into that Bible study and my plan was to go in, to shut up, say nothing, get out. But God had grabbed me. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. I knew. I had to put it right. I locked myself away. I didn't know anything about these things, but I prayed with all my heart. I wouldn't have even said it was prayer. I just cried out. And this was something like what I cried. I knew that God was there. I didn't disbelieve in God, but I said, God, if what I viewed is just true, I messed up big time. I'm on my way to hell, and if what's been said is true, then you're the only way that I can be saved. You're the only way I can be changed. Lord, come and change me. I give my life to you. Come and change me. And he came. I didn't know if it was theologically sound. I didn't know if all the words were right. I'm only giving you now an impression of what I said. But he came. He changed my life. And there was no big voice. And there was no blue flash or a big light. But I do want to tell you something. That I felt. It's not only about feelings, but I did feel it. Now, I didn't know what the feeling was. The only way I could explain it at the time was I felt light. Not light as in light bulb, light as in not heavy. I felt light. I heard a preacher years later describe it like this. And when he described it, I thought, oh, that's what happened to me. And he described it. Have you ever been hill walking? Who's been hill walking? Yeah? Have you been hill walking with a rucksack on your back? Yes? And you've walked for a bit with a heavy rucksack, and then you take the rucksack off. It feels like, or because all your muscles have been carrying this, it feels all of a sudden that you're going, ooh. It feels you're lighter somehow. No, the body soon gets back used to it, and it goes. But I felt like that. God had come in and taken this heavy weight off me. You read Pilgrim's Progress, if you've read that, it's a very, very descriptive thing. But I hadn't read that. But that was the feeling. And I walked out of that toilet. I didn't know what happened. You know, well, man, kind of... And I walked down, and my partner in crime, we used to go to camps together, Angharad, will know, me and Ivion, were troublemakers. True, Angharad? Yes, I know. And he was walking up the corridor, and he was still 20 feet away. And he just said, you've got God. Now, I don't know what he saw. As far as I could tell, nothing had changed. Of course, lots changed. You see, God comes and answers our prayer. So tonight, my friends, if you're a Christian, the first 5 points is for you. Make sure you're right, because you're growing up now. But this point, if you're not a Christian tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight, no matter if you've been coming here every week, doesn't matter if you've read the Bible from cover to cover, doesn't matter if you know all the hymns, but you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour, then this prayer is for you. Cry out on him. Call to him and say, God, I need your mercy and your grace. Forgive my sin and come by your Holy Spirit and fill me up that I may be a new creation, born again, a new person in you. That I might become not just a Christ knower, not just someone who knows, not just someone, but a Christian, someone who follows Jesus, who's inhabited by his spirit and is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Behold, all things are new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My friends, let's make prayer once again a most powerful thing, ministry that we've got in the church. Let's pray and pray and pray until God moves. Let's make sure that we're praying in accordance with those things that I've just said. But if you don't know Jesus tonight, then only one prayer is necessary. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you mean it and you direct it to him, he will come and change your life forever. Amen.